You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Dave Poulin in here. DJ Smith, the new head coach in Ottawa, formerly an assistant coach here in Toronto. He'll join us in about a half an hour. Donovan Bailey coming up in a moment. We got a lot of things we want to get to with Donovan. A lot of things we want to get to. It's Game 5 in Milwaukee. We'll get to that in a moment. The Athletic has posted a piece on the show, and it's up on the website. And you got to subscribe. So if you want to read the whole thing, you actually have to subscribe to the website. Have you read it?
I'm officially a subscriber.
One of the best subscriptions I have, by far.
Yeah, they do great work.
The Athletic. In all sports. I mean, across the board. They've hired some phenomenal writers.
Did you subscribe just because of this?
I did not subscribe. Keith emailed it to me.
Have you read it?
I have.
I never thought about asking you if you've even read it yet.
The whole thing?
I think I read the whole thing.
I might have skimmed over some parts.
Anything regarding
your name
you,
in
I
it?
Over.
Exactly. I got to the O'Neill and Noodles part. I said,
just
all right,
right
moving
through
on. Because Trump is famous for that, apparently. Like,
he'll only read about himself?
Yeah. They'll sit down and they'll be going
shocking.
Over like, some real significant intel.
World like, intelligence.
Where does it say Trump? Like, that's what I want to see. We got a real problem going on in the Middle East. Does that say Trump? No? Not interested.
Four paragraphs down.
Yeah. So I basically pulled off the same thing. But it was a really, well-written piece. Sean Fitzgerald wrote it. We can't thank him enough for putting a spotlight on the show. And it began by talking about the conversation we had on this show about 4 or 5 months ago about a buddy of mine who had a circumcision into his 30s. And I just had a friend of mine sent me a text. He assumed I had been talking about his brother this whole time.
So there's two people that have done this?
I just found out I know two people that got a circumcision well into adulthood.
And their only connection is you.
Basically, yeah. 6 degrees of circumcision.
You're connecting the dots.
6 degrees of circumcision. I'm the guy that can connect you with... You want to find someone who's into their 30s and went through this procedure?
You and Kevin Bacon.
I'm the guy who can find that person for you. So that is borderline shocking as well. Anyway, we were talking about this in the previous segment, about the anxiety that could be in the building in Milwaukee tonight because they haven't won anything. Milwaukee hasn't won anything. The Brewers haven't won anything. The Bucks haven't won anything.
You know, you talk about a sports town, and Toronto's a big city, obviously, and you know how wrapped up we get in the outcome of a game. But you can imagine in Milwaukee, it's magnified that much more.
That's why do you say that?
Because of the size of the town. I mean, you think about being a Milwaukee Buck or a Milwaukee Brewer in a town of that size.
Right. Well, how about Green Bay? Like, can you imagine?
They all live in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of the
they live in Mequon, which is a northern suburb, is where some of the players.
What is like Green Bay, like
down.
Newmarket or what? Yeah,
it's 100,000.
Yeah, it's like Barrie. It's like 45 minutes outside of Milwaukee, I think.
A little bit more than that, maybe about 100,000 people.
And there's 100,000 people, yeah.
So nobody, none of the players live there, nothing?
Well, I'm sure some of them probably do, but...
I don't know. There were players that clearly lived down in this suburb that's north, a really nice suburb north of Milwaukee.
Right. I could see the practice facility being closer to Milwaukee, but yeah, I
no,
hear you.
No, you practice right at Lambeau.
They might, because no one else is using it.
Yeah, I've been through it.
You're right about it being a smaller town, I guess, but that I'm just saying.
It means that much more to a smaller town just because there's not as many entertainment options.
Yeah, yeah. But based on success, they haven't had any more or any less than Toronto. Like, you could feel it.
Baseball has.
Milwaukee, not in recent years.
They've had decent teams.
They've had decent teams. Yeah, yeah they've been a playoff team, but they haven't won a World Series in a long time.
Good question.
Yeah, I don't
82?
Know. 82? It's been a long time.
Robin Yount.
I was going to say, yeah, that's probably what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So I could picture some anxiety in the
building
tonight.
Oh, it could be a little
tight. I could picture them. There were probably some people thinking they're not coming home again until the NBA final. Like, leaving Toronto up
to
nothing.
Fair thought the way they went through games one and two.
They played, like, Toronto handed them game one. Handed them game one. Said, here, go ahead in the fourth quarter. We're ice cold. You take it.
Then
we don't want it.
Their ass in game two.
And then they lit them up in game two. So I could see the confidence, you know, the chest beating a little bit too much and people thinking this one's over. You know, we cruise through Boston, cruise through Detroit, Toronto. Like, even though your team are chokers, you amplify the other team's reputation, you know, which could probably be applied here to Toronto. I'm sure there's some Raptors fans, I guess I'm doing it right now in a way, saying they're going to be anxious in Milwaukee. These guys are a bunch of losers. All they do is lose. They're going to be freaking out as if, you know, this is the city of Boston and all we do is win in Toronto. You know, because you know there'll be anxiety in the building on Saturday night. If the Raptors lose tonight and they come home down 3-2, there'll be a lot of nervous energy in the building for game six.
Of course, understandably. Last game of the year, potentially.
Right.
Or clinching to go to the finals.
But you have a recent experience of this. At Scotiabank, Leafs up 3-2. Did it feel, was there kind of some nerves in the building?
There was a general excitement, yeah. Like, man, we could finally get through this, and then it was just...
Was it excitement, though, or was it nervous? Or a nervous excitement, if you know what I mean.
That's what it was to me, a nervous excitement. An energy, like when everybody knew,
right,
they could be moving on.
Okay, we were talking about Donovan Bailey a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember how this came up. We were talking about his
race. His 150 or 200 meter race.
I think it might have been the day that James Duthie raced. Oh, I think that was the conversation.
Yeah, it was, but it started before that. That was later on because then O claimed that he could run like a 100 meter in 14 seconds or something.
He could probably beat Donovan Bailey.
Well, I wonder what Donovan would run it now. I don't know. Can he
faster? No.
Thank you, Pooley. Thank you.
Great analysis.
That's why you bring the... They don't call you the best in the business for nothing. Retired Canadian Olympic sprinter, former 100-meter world record holder. I mean, I don't really have to give you the details on this guy. Here's Donovan Bailey. Donovan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. Have you clocked yourself recently at the 100? And if so, what kind of numbers are you putting up?
That's funny. No chance of that.
You got no interest in doing that, huh?
Don't you wonder just for a second, though?
No. Listen, that's something that you guys wonder. Nah. Listen, I believe that if I went down a 100-meter track, I would lose a couple of hamstrings on the way down.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's my concern, too.
One of your concerns.
Yeah, for me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about my own personal concerns.
Donovan, we were talking a couple of weeks ago having fun. Have you ever, like, I am not in shape, but I can still run. I'm a former pro athlete. Mm-hmm. Are they called speed walkers?
Yeah, speed walking.
Even if it's an Olympic speed walker at 100 meters, do you not think I could beat them in a 100-meter race?
Well, it's possible. I don't know. When was the last time you timed yourself?
It doesn't matter. It's just a sprint. They're speed walking, and I'm running. I'm sprinting.
It was
sprinting.
With a calendar the last time he clocked himself in the 100.
Right.
They're speed walking. I'm sprinting.
No, there's some speed walkers out there. That's pretty fast, my man. You got to check that out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, I don't think you should be so confident.
Yeah. I would never lose to a human being walking, and I'm sprinting.
Okay. Oh, I don't know about that. Have you checked out the speed walkers, though, for real?
Yeah, I have. And there's no way. They're not running. They're speed walking. I could not lose. Olympic gold medalist.
Some of these guys got amazing cadence and great technique. I mean, listen, I'd probably take that bet, but I'm thinking that some of these guys, I mean, this is a well-trained. I mean, these are... Obviously, we always joke from being sprinters. We always joke at other events. One of those being the speed walkers. But no, the speed walkers are immensely trained machines also, man, especially the guys that do long distance.
Well, what's it like to be like the king of the Olympics? I mean, the 100-meter race, it's always defined the Olympics. It's the summer games. Whoever is the fastest man in the world. Like when you took it down in 96, when you're walking around the Olympic Village, have you ever had more confidence in your life?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, I think it's way different. We're all in basketball season now, and you guys all know that's my favorite sport. But in track and field, in the sprints, it's different. It's an individual thing. You know that everyone's at the stadium to watch you. You know that if you make a mistake, you can't point the fingers at someone else. You know, so it's just very different.
Have you ever gone back and watched it and listened to the call? The call's incredible back in 96. And if so, how many times have you done that?
Oh, well, every time I do an appearance or you know, my TV spots at CBC and so forth, I mean, people always, there's always going to be the race. The race's always going to be there. I mean, Don Whitman, you know, missed that guy. It's probably one of the greatest callers of sport in Canada. So it's you know, I mean, I get once in a while, you know, when we get goosebumps watching that.
Yeah, I'd be watching that on a loop. You can't come in my house unless you watch that on a loop with Donovan Bailey. All right, let's get down to the Raptors here, because you were there for both games three and game four, right?
I was there for four.
Okay, you were there for four. And, you know, Drake, the Raptors really stole the show. They won by 18. It was a decisive win. They needed that win. But the whole city, the whole country, the whole NBA is buzzing about Drake. And you were there. You were noticeable. You were on TSN all night as well. What did you make? How noticeable is Drake when you're courtside yourself?
Listen, first of all, I'm a massive fan of Drake. I mean, you know, he's a good dude, and he's doing an incredible job just being an ambassador for the city. You know, the fact that if he's bringing more eyeballs and more conversations about basketball and about Toronto, the city, we're all winning.
Okay.
Would you ever give the coach a shoulder rub during play?
Listen, I sit usually on the other side, but I believe that if I sat in Drake's seats, I might do the same.
Well, no, you wouldn't.
I don't know if you would pull that move off. Is there a protocol when you're a celebrity at the game? You know the cameras are going to find you. Like, do you know when the cameras are on you or what?
You know what? For me, no. I don't. And frankly, I mean, again, you guys all know that I'm a basketball fan, so I actually want to see the guys playing, or I want to see the moves. I want to see what plays are called for each player. So I mean, for me, this, you know, I'm there to watch the game. But everyone celebrates differently, though. I mean, like I said, I love like, you know, sitting there with Nazim, and we're talking, and with Vinny Vermani. I mean, we're sitting there watching the game and cheering, like, you know, cheering the Raptors on with as much positive energy as you can. So for me, it doesn't really matter, man. I think it's great when Drake gets up and he gets animated. And that gets the team up. That gets everyone up, man. And whatever good vibes we can bring to the Raptors and to the city, I think that's all awesome.
So do you have season tickets?
Oh, God, no. No, well, I mean,
you just know a guy that knows a guy?
I know. Listen, the Vermonis are amazing friend of mine and incredible, amazing people. You know, us Oakville boys got to stick together.
Right.
So yeah, it's always good that I'm certainly blessed. You know, for me to be an invited guest of them on many occasions.
Donovan, you're a big hoops fan. Who is your player? Who do you play like if you're out there? Who's your game?
The person I thought I played like in college was Westbrook. Westbrook like, or the new kid that's coming on, the kid named Ja Morant. I never used to, in playing in high school and in college, I really didn't care about like a 3-point shot. The only thing I wanted to do was to get a rebound or dunk, and you just dunk on it.
No, I wish I could do that. Yeah, that's not me. I'm taking 6 fouls and I'm out.
Well, listen, that's at least you're leading in the stats, man. That's good.
Right, exactly. I played like Bryant Reeves when I was in school.
Big country.
Big country every day.
Uh-oh.
Well, listen, Donovan, we always appreciate you finding time for us, and we're tracking the Raps with you. I mean, everyone's looking forward to seeing what happens tonight, and we'll see what happens on Saturday when they come home. It's been a fun ride so far.
Absolutely. You know what? I think it was psychologically necessary for them to blow them out in the last game, and hopefully we can take this one tonight and close it out in Toronto.
You got it. Enjoy it. Thank you, Donovan.
All right, take care.
There he is, Donovan Bailey.
Russell Westbrook, nice.
I like that.
Think my game's like, I think the guy went to Michigan, the tractor, what was his name? The tractor trailer. you remember that guy?
Yeah, what was that guy's name?
He was a monster.
Robert.
It was Tractor Trailer.
T-R-A-Y-L-O-R.
Robert Trailer, you're right, yeah. Just a moose in the middle.
Who's the other guy that played for
Is that what his name was? Scrappler Tractor Trailer?
You think it's Zach Rudolph.
Zach Rudolph. That he's got a little Zach Rudolph in him.
Rudolph and Gasol, when they were in their prime, they didn't get to the dance, but they won a lot of playoff games.
Yeah, they did. And I think Gasol's got a little Zach Randolph in him.
Yeah, I'm Tractor Trailer.
He was a lefty, I think.
Just Zach get Rudolph. Down and dirty and muck around the net.
Yep.
That's Randolph. You'd like his game, oh.
Well, listen, I guess really what came out of that, there were a lot of things that came out of that conversation. One, you need a connection to get close to the court.
Oh, it was working that.
Yeah.
You know what? I thought karma would come back around because over my lifetime, I have gotten tickets for so many people I can't even remember and how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars I spent. I was thinking, I'd like to go to game whatever it was, and I was just kind of sniffing around to some of my contacts. Just feathers after feathers, 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 feathers. And I'm like, screw it. I'm not doing it.
Did you see Kelly Chase's tweet today?
Oh, yeah.
That was great. He thinks that someone gave his name out as Ticketmaster for the finals.
Well, everyone would be reaching out, right?
I would shut my phone off and say, do not even think about asking me. It's so ignorant. But I just did it. But
I was going to say, you.
But you don't want it till Game 6, right?
No, I wanted to go the other night, and I'm thinking, I got to know somebody.
The next one you want to go to is Game 6.
Well, I'm sure you can get in the building, but courtside is a different...
I don't want to sit courtside. I don't need that. I don't care for it.
But you would like to. Why would you not... Like, if you can, why would you not take that
opportunity? If that was my seat, great, but I would like to sit anywhere.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm with you. You can get a media pass and get in there. You can do that if you want. We'll hook you up.
He wants courtside.
Yeah, I don't care for that. Nobody cares to see me on courtside either.
Well, it doesn't mean that the camera's going to find you, but it would be an incredible experience.
So what is the guy with that had the Sixers banner in there? So he bought that.
Yeah, he paid
someone
for
who
him
owns
online.
It.
I would assume secondary market.
Secondary market. Someone gives up their... And they were giving up the same seat for every game. So what was he paying for that seat?
Oh, man, I would think it was at least, what, $1,200?
$2,500.
$1,500 more?
Way north of that.
Okay, $2,500. Yeah, I don't know.
Courtside?
No, I've never sat courtside, so I don't know.
Didn't Gord say that the seats he was sitting in, he was courtside?
Yeah, you're right.
And he said they were $900 each.
Right.
And that was the first round.
Yeah. Well, think about what the prices are going to be if they can get to an NBA Finals.
I tried to get courtside at the Knicks for a regular season game, and some guy was telling me they were like $2,000 for regulars, and they were garbage.
That's New York, though, right? That was at the Garden?
Yeah, and the team was awful, and it was a regular season matinee or some nonsense, and it was like, yeah, $2,000 for court. I'm like, get lost. That's ridiculous.
When they rebuilt Madison Square Garden, they put like... six parking spots that are attached to the glass skywalk. Six. So you're one of six guys that has a parking spot in the building right by your suite.
Wow.
I think they're going for more than $2,000.
Someone said StubHub's got courtside seats at $5,000.
For the Raps at home?
I would assume for game six, yeah.
Yeah. No.
There you go, Oh.
No.
$5,000 for the pair. Probably willing to sit up top.
I bet you that's for one each, like for per.
Yeah, it might be.
But like 10 G's for two.
Especially if they can close. Like if the Raptors win tonight, a potential.
Oh, you could be
game.
Part of history. They're going to the finals for the first time. Game six, you're there.
No, I refuse.
I'm not paying $5,000.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the guy between
us. Right, that's true.
I'm not paying $5,000 either.
No. Although it would be very cool. Very cool experience. All right, DJ Smith, he's out of here. He's not in Toronto anymore. He's been hired as the new head coach of the Ottawa Senators. And we've never had a chance to get him on because Mike Babcock, or whoever runs the operation down there with the Maple Leafs, doesn't allow assistant coaches to speak.
Your last chance was winning
the Memorial Cup. I feel like we had him on after he won
we did.
In Oshawa.
I think I was part of that at one point.
I think you're right. So the muzzle's off, and he's coming on for the first time in like 5 years.
Perfect. We're going to get to him next.
Getting to him next.
Do we have the Bob Uecker, you're the best in the business clip, Mulls? No, we don't have it.
Well, that was kind of a random throw. We'll do that a little bit later.
We were talking about it. We wanted to get it.
Yeah, I know, but we were talking like an hour ago about Bob Uecker.
Oh, so we're not playing that anymore?
No, we will. We'll revisit the Bob Uecker conversation, and then we'll play some clips from Bob.
Later, we will.
You got it. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to some Bob Uecker audio. The reason we brought up Bob Uecker was we're trying to find someone famous from Milwaukee that could play the role of Drake tonight, and we couldn't really find anybody. Like, Liberace's from Milwaukee, but he passed away a long time ago. Gene Wilder passed away. Bob Uecker, though, is still kicking and still the king.
Just a bit outside.
So we'll play some Bob later on. Although we really shouldn't be pumping the tires in Milwaukee, but Bob Uecker, I think we can make an exception for him.
But what I didn't know about that, like, I don't even know, is he an actor or is he a play-by...
He was a ball player.
He was a baseball player.
He was a ball player. He was a catcher, and then he's been calling games forever, and he's done acting and commercials. And
that all came after the baseball.
Right. All right, so Ottawa's got a new coach, and they're stealing from Toronto.
He's not our friend anymore.
Well, you know what? It's great that we can finally have him back on because...
He is our friend now.
Yeah, he's the muzzle is off because when he was the assistant coach with the Maple Leafs, we never were allowed to talk to him, and now he's a head coach, go figure, and he can come on the show again.
Okay, let me ask the first question.
All right, here's the new head coach of the Ottawa Senators, DJ Smith. Congrats, DJ.
Hey, thank you very much. Glad to be on.
Well, the first question is, you're the head coach now. Will your assistant coaches be allowed to speak with anybody?
They are muzzled. No, you know what? I have to talk to Pierre. I think that's pretty standard around the league, that the head coach does all the talking, just so that the message stays the same.
Are you comfortable with that? I mean, it's a lot. You know it. In a Canadian city, there's going to be a lot of media. It comes with the job, but do you prepare yourself for that come September or what?
No, absolutely. It does come with the job. There's seven of these jobs in Canada, and I can't be any happier to have one of them. And, if talking to the media is something that I'm going to enjoy.
Well, you're stepping into a situation. It may feel nostalgic for you because when you got here to Toronto, the team was a disaster. I mean, you guys finished dead last your first year behind a bench, but then quickly turned things around, and now you're stepping into Ottawa where they were last place in the league this past year. Can you sense some similarities between, day one in Toronto and now day one in Ottawa?
Well, definitely. I mean, besides the fact that they're finished 30th and 31st, they've done a nice job of in the fact that they had to sell all those players, that they've reaped the benefits of having some good young players in their system. Certainly the two that everyone talks about on the Senators, Chabot and Tkachuk. But there's guys in the minors and a ton of draft picks, and they're set up to go in the right direction. So my job's to come in here and develop these guys and to grow with them. And I think my track record says that I'm good at developing players. Now I need to develop with these guys and prove I can coach.
With DJ Smith, the new head coach of the Ottawa Senators, at what point, I mean, you've been a head coach before. You won a Memorial Cup as a head coach in Oshawa. But at what point this year did you start thinking, I'd like an opportunity to at least interview for a head coaching job?
Well, the reason I left Oshawa to go work in Toronto under Mike is for that reason alone. My goal is to be a head coach in the National Hockey League. I had some opportunities to be a head coach in the American League and stay in junior and do things like that. I chose to do that to learn the league, and I think it's an invaluable experience to get on the bench in the NHL, to learn. The players are certainly different than junior. You got to know the league, the cities, the rinks, where they're at, all these things. It's an invaluable experience, like I said, my time there in Toronto. But my whole time there, I was just preparing myself for the opportunity to eventually get a shot to be a head coach, and I'm ready today.
Everybody wants to be a head coach in the coaching industry, DJ. I mean, you're in Toronto, one of the organizations that will, spend at all costs, everything like that. You guys are watching from afar in Toronto this year. And let's be honest, it was a bit of a mess in Ottawa. Was that any kind of factoring decision for you, or you just want to be the guy to help things move forward?
Well, I just see it as such an opportunity for me because, you know, you're taking over a team that's 31st in the National Hockey League that has a bunch of good young players and more to come. So, you know, what better team for me to take over and to come here and put my stamp on a young group and build this group together? Anyone that knows me knows it's a team-first mentality, and we're going to come here and, you know, with the staff that we put together, we're gonna build a group here that can grow together and be competitive. So for me, it looked from the outside like a great opportunity to come in a situation that didn't go great last year.
DJ, did you know Pierre previously, and through the process, how much of it was getting to know him and what his vision was, and if it aligned with where you wanted to go?
I had dealt with him 5 years ago or 4 years ago with a player of theirs that had come over and played for me in Oshawa, Tobias Lindbergh, and we just dealt with that a little bit, and then he interviewed me. Whatever it was now 3 weeks ago, and a lot of it, you know, certainly was the technical side and that, but was getting to know each other, and I'm big on, you know, working with people, and obviously he had to make the decision that, you know, if he can work with me and if I'm his guy, and, you know, the more we met, it seemed like the better it went, and then ultimately he ended up making that decision.
That's got to be, you know, a little bit nerve-wracking knowing that, okay, I've done my interviews, I feel good about who I am and what I can bring to this table. But you know the way the hockey world works and the media
Screw
world.
Screw that Patrick Waugh guy.
Well, exactly. There's reports coming out that Patrick Waugh's interviewing Mark Crawford.
Rick Bonus.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that are in the running. Did you allow yourself to track the news? I mean, how could you avoid tracking that news?
No, I mean, certainly I heard about it, and I'm not a guy that follows it a ton, but I dealt with the exact same thing when I was, hired in Oshawa. People are always going to push the guys that have coached before and had, their opportunity or maybe an experienced guy, and you just got to make sure you're ready when you get your call, and I know I'm ready, so there's nothing I could do to change, who was interviewing, what was happening. All I could do is make sure that, you know, when I got in front of them that I was prepared and I could sell myself to the best ability, and I believe in myself, so I really didn't have any doubt.
DJ, coaching the younger players that you're coaching now and the headed to Ottawa, but you've had the junior experience, how much has that changed just in the last 4 or 5 or 6 years? It seems like the younger players have that much more of an impact and they're that much more demanding early in their careers.
No, for sure. It has changed over time, and that's probably why the biggest thing for me is that I was able to experience that with some of the guys over the last 4 years, is watching guys come from junior, the Mitch Marners and these guys, and dealing with these guys. I mean, at the end of the day, the difference between junior hockey and the National Hockey League is just the guys getting paid and getting paid that much more. They all want to be coached. They all want to be the guy. They all want to get better every day, and they're all passionate about what they do. So, I mean, fundamentally, it's the same. It's just it has changed a little bit. The league, the NHL anyways, even since I was playing, seems like it is a lot younger. It's a lot faster. There's, certainly with social media, there's a lot more of that involved. So there's all those things, but I think I experienced a lot of that over my 13 years in the Ontario Hockey League, and in the last 4 years, studied up on the NHL, I guess, and I feel it makes me ready for this.
With the new head coach of the Ottawa Senators, DJ Smith, you were on the staff here in Toronto for 4 years. If there's one thing you want to take or one thing you learned from Mike Babcock that you're going to apply to this gig in Ottawa, what would that be?
I think it has to be the work ethic and the amount of time that it takes, on a daily basis to be ready in the National Hockey League. There's 82 games. There's a lot of time, a lot of travel, a lot of practices, a lot of things you have to know. And I think one thing about him is he's a tireless worker, and I'll live by the fact that I won't be outworked.
Well, best of luck in Ottawa. Obviously, we'll be tracking it pretty closely here in Toronto and the Battle of Ontario.
Time we'll ever have you on, pal.
I appreciate it, O-Dog, doing a heck of a job.
All right, good luck, DJ. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
There's DJ Smith. We'll have him on again. I mean, we'll extend the invite.
He's
why
a good
not?
Guy.
Yeah, we can always have him on from time to time.
Why yeah, not? We do. You know, he starts thinking, as a head coach, a large part of your responsibility is now managing. You know, you don't get to coach as much as a head coach as you do as an assistant coach. And you've got to manage a staff. You've got to manage up. You've got to manage a general manager. You've got to manage across. You've got to manage down. There's a whole bunch of different things that go into it. He's done it at the junior level. But in some ways, you know, you're taking a little bit of a step away from the actual coaching part of it as the head coach.
I think the most important thing for a head coach in the NHL is, and this might seem crazy, and Pooley, you might think I'm nuts for saying this, it's the first 5 or 10 minutes he addresses that group.
You know what I used to say, oh? The most important 3 minutes are the 3 minutes after you walk out of the locker room.
Well, what they're saying.
Who speaks next? What are they saying? Are they backing up what you just said? Yeah. Are they contradicting what you just said? Is it the same voice every time?
I was in the dressing room and Ronnie Rolston walked in with his gardening gloves. I'm not kidding. I would just say, what is this? This guy's got gardening gloves on. The head coach in the NHL has gardening gloves on, so I already think you're a dummy.
Yeah, that's right. I would too.
It would be human nature. I'd be like, this guy's got gardening gloves on in the NHL, and he wears khaki pants behind the bench. An NHL coach wears a suit. I don't know. Sorry.
I think that's why it didn't work for him.
Well, it is funny, though, because if you did say that, right? So he walks out of the locker room. If you did say that, does someone in the locker room challenge you and back him up? Because if they don't, then you're, as a head coach, you've got no chance at all.
Yeah, like if someone said, oh, sit down and shut up.
Yeah.
Then that's taking over.
Exactly.
But if everyone's like, yeah, the guy's a bozo.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have a lot of veteran leaders in Ottawa, though. So you would
That's where the Mark Stone, you're hoping the impact he had on some of those young guys transferred.
It's got to be a guy like Shabbat.
Like Brady Tkachuk, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what?
You know what? This is our guy. He knows what he's talking about. We got to follow him.
How nervous would you be that you're going to run into them randomly over the course of the summer before they get to camp? And let's say, like, DJ Smith is walking around, and he's got Crocs and socks on, and he's running to the store quickly at midnight, and Brady Tkachuk spots him, and he's like, this is my first impression.
I don't think that'll be it.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of who's in that Ottawa locker room, like Chris Tierney, you know, who's been a little bit, he's only 24, 25 years old, but he's a pro.
Well, they got to get some veteran guys. They got to get some veteran guys in there to make sure.
They do. You've got to shape it around that. Yeah. You're exactly right. Go old.
Go old. Pooley says go old.
Pooley.
I want a job. I want to play.
Go old.
Win a face-off and change.
Absolutely. All right. Game 5 tonight. We'll tee that up. Raptors, Bucks down in Milwaukee. You can watch that on TSN. And Bob Uecker.
All of his clips. All of them.
Got to get back to Bob Uecker whenever you have an opportunity.
We got to get him on. We got to get him on the show.
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside.
I feel like Bob doesn't do interviews. Like, I'd be shocked. Like, you know, Vince Scully towards the end of his career. No, not happening. Like, he'll go on like the Tonight Show, but.
Well, you talk for 3 hours for a living. Do you want to do a call-in interview?
Tell him you're bigger than the Tonight Show.
I do them from time to time, but.
Yeah, but. No thanks.
Yeah, but I'm not Bob Uecker. Like, Bob Uecker.
But, oh, we're not.
Guess the last thing I want to do on earth, call an interview when I'm on. I'm a radio co-host.
But
I should be a host, but
no,
I'm a co-host.
We can't do interviews, you and I.
What?
We can't do interviews. We're not allowed to.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm making sure that.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm the Paul McFarland.
Paul McFarland over here is.
Yeah.
You guys have been muzzled. DJ, I mean, he said basically.
Although
sorry,
we should be muzzled when a guy calls into us then.
I can see the common message, right. But not total hands
off. But what's the
off.
Point of interviewing?
Not total hands
but
off.
But that's the problem, though, because if you know that they're coming out, you know, in a robotic fashion, what's the point of talking to them anyway? If you get the assist, if Paul McFarland comes out and he's so nervous to say anything, just send Babcock out. You know what I'm saying? Like, Paul, you're not answering anything. You're so nervous.
What is the idea of the message stays the same? Like, what's Paul McFarland going to say? I was at the Peelers last night. It was nuts.
I don't know.
what is going to change?
It's a good point.
Like, I am so hungover right now. I was at the Brass Rail till 7. Oh, interesting, Paul. Interesting take.
We're still trying to figure out who the hell you are. Like, you've been in the league before, right?
Yeah. Just starts his presser off with, Jesus, I'm hungover.
I have to begin by saying, I am so hungover.
Yeah, I got cooked at the rail last night, and I am done.
I want to thank Brendan Dubas and Kyle Shanahan for giving me this opportunity. And
yeah.
I am a mess.
I'm a puddle right now. I'm sweating gin and tonics.
Right. But let's chat, man. What do you guys got?
Yeah. Want to talk PP?
I got some power play notes for you. Here's our plan next year.
Yeah.
Spark off.
You know what we should do? Just for, you know, comedy purposes, let's email the Leafs and ask if we can have Paul McFarlane on.
And just get a fake Paul McFarlane or get the real one?
Let's just see what if they may not even give us an answer. I could see them being like, you're wasting your own time.
If they say no, we're going to come up with a fake Paul McFarlane introductory and you're going to voice it
over.
Should
we do that?
Yeah.
So Paul McFarlane was actually DJ Smith's assistant in Oshawa.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple years.
You probably didn't get to speak there.
And we'll be like, this is why assistant coaches are never allowed to talk, and we'll have a fake introductory presser.
Right. Here's Paul
McFarlane.
We'll
have, like, Grappler being Zeiss and Cy in the crowd asking questions. Paul, how was the rail?
Great.
Spectacular first impression at the rail last night.
Yeah. Upper rail. Sweet.
Okay.
We'll get him on.
Yeah. Paul McFarlane, consider it booked. He's locked in. All right, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, The Man of Steel is brought to you by Steel. Quality product built to last, price to sell. We're going to look ahead tonight. Who do you think will be the Man of Steel tonight?
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard is the Man of Steel.
I think it's going to be Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, I'm a little bit fearful. I mean, the whole world's waiting for...
He's been getting ripped, and people are challenging him. He's going to say...
And Kawhi comes through.
He'll take the ball at half court and just run with it and slam it, traveling times 20.
I'm on
Amazing
Kyle
they
Lowry.
Give that guy a travel, because it only takes him three steps to get there from the half anyway, and they let him travel.
But he does travel, and to be fair, Kawhi has had a couple that he's gotten away with well. So
you're going with Kyle?
I'll go with Kyle Lowry tonight. Yeah, I think Kyle's performed really well, and he's got the thumb injury, but you wouldn't notice it once the ball goes up. You know, he's playing well. I'm on Kyle tonight. I have a good feeling about the Raptors. I don't know why I do. I haven't the first four games. I really have not had a good feeling one way or the other. And it's probably recency bias. The last time we saw these two teams play, one team dominated.
That's my term. You know that.
You're taking claim to that?
Yeah, recency bias is mine.
Did you read that in a piece?
Yeah.
I'll give it to you, Paul. You can have that nugget. You can have that nugget. All right, do you want to hear some Bob Uecker?
Absolutely.
As you know, Monty, Vaughn's been working on a couple of new pitches, the Eliminator and the Humiliator, to complement his fastball, the Terminator.
I heard that.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
I heard that.
Harry Doyle. That's his name in Major League.
So strong.
Just a bit outside.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Harry Doyle, along with my good friend and partner, Monty. What's his name?
Monty, what's his name?
The reason we bring that up is because we spent the past couple of days trying to find anybody that's actually famous in Milwaukee. And Bob Uecker has to be the guy. Nobody else I can think of, Pooley. Like,
he's there.
Who else is even, outside of like the pro athletes, like the Brewers and the Packers?
Yeah, the Schlitz family, probably.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. Like, would you consider the Molson family famous?
Yeah.
Yes.
Celebrities?
In yes. Canada, yes.
Celebrities?
Yes.
Yes.
Celebrities.
They invented beer.
Yes. They didn't invent beer.
Whatever. How many uncles do you have that drink Molson Canadian and Molson Export? I have a lot.
Yeah. Oh, me too. But Labatt? The Labatts? Equal
famous.
Billing on this
yeah,
program.
Famous.
Okay.
They're famous.
There you go. You got to be equal. Straight and narrow.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
That's what we got to come up with every time someone says something
Dynamite
stupid.
Drop in, Monty.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Any stupid comment, you're getting that one.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Honestly, man, there have been some shows recently where you could just play that thing on a loop.
It's tough sledding these days.
We've had some ugly commentary.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
It's going to be great because this is why you don't mess with Mullen.
Because he has got this one in his back pocket.
Right.
Whenever a stupid comment is made.
That he decides is a stupid comment.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen? We're going to chirp Mullen because it's going to happen. Or we're going to take a shot at Oshawa's hometown or something.
You're going to get this.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Thing is, I don't think he'll drop that then. He'll wait until you make a serious point.
Yeah, like during an interview with a big-time guest.
Right. Like, we'll have Babcock on, and we'll be like, Mike, I got to be honest. You know, I don't see how you're improving here.
You got to play Austin Matthews more.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school is really paid off.
During the interview.
During the interview, and it just completely ruins everything. Yeah.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Shout out to Harry Doyle. I love those names. Harry Doyle. Wasn't there another? In The Mask, there was a guy named Doyle. Remember the goofy detective? He was like the main detective. Do you remember the movie The Mask?
Nope.
Yeah, I remember that.
Probably before my time.
Jim Carrey? You've never seen The Mask?
Nope, not a movie guy.
Hit this guy with it.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Noodles who can quote every movie ever made.
But The Mask. Really, Pooley?
Really. Dead serious. Oh, I haven't seen one second of the Game of Thrones. I haven't seen. No.
We're sports guys.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Anyway. All right. Time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. I'm on Houston Home Plus big tonight. And I think it's going to be a tie in the Raptors-Milwaukee game.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. Proline, get way into the game.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
All right. Boy. Are we out of here? Is that enough? Or? Yeah, okay.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
That's enough. Bully, thanks for stepping in today, buddy. It's always
pleasure.
Great to see you. Rod Black is going to be in here tomorrow.
I'm this chair.
I'm the warm-up act for Roddy.
You
because tomorrow is
Roddy will be in that chair.
I might have to take the three chair tomorrow.
Why not?
I might have to. Paul McFarlane.
We'll be in the three chair.
Yeah. Shout out. All right, Pooley. Always appreciate it, buddy.
Okay.
Enjoy the game tonight. Game 5. You can watch it on TSN. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Join us.